disregard written jointly by Connor Curtis and Zipporah Berman under the heading, The World is on Fire. Why is Canada considering massive new oil drilling? The article was published by The Guardian Daily. Please stay tuned. Coal and other fossil fuels are choking humanity. Those were the words of Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the United Nations, in response to the sobering recent International Panel on Climate Change IPCC report, which warned that the world has a small window remaining to act before irreversible and catastrophic impacts are locked in. People around the world are already paying the price with their lives and livelihoods. In 2021, the 10 biggest extreme weather events cost $170 billion in damages. Last year, the International Energy Agency and IPCC both confirmed that in order to stay below 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming, the expansion of oil, gas, and coal projects must stop and a planned winding down of both production and emissions begin. Yet according to the UN Environment Program's Production Gap report, the world is on track to reduce double the amount of fossil fuels that can be burned on the planet. Canada and Norway are two of the world's biggest fossil fuel producers. While the two countries have demonstrated leadership in terms of putting a price on carbon pollution and getting rid of coal plants, they share a major blind spot when just it comes to oil. Despite the IEA's finding that no further reserves of oil can be developed if we are to meet global emissions targets, both countries have plans for expansion. Case in point, a Norwegian company, Equinor, is now proposing a giant oil drilling project called Bay du Nord off the coast of the Canadian province of Newfoundland and Labrador. The project is estimated to produce up to 73 million barrels a year, which is equivalent to adding more than 7 million gas-powered cars to the road. This calls into question the Canadian federal cabinet's commitment to climate action and risks local ecosystems and the fisheries and other industries that depend upon them. Bay du Nord would involve building the deepest production wells drilled in Canada. According to estimates by Equinor, a wellhead blowout at this location would take 18 to 36 days to cap. The new Canadian cabinet was supposed to make a decision on whether or not to accept this project by March 6th, but has now delayed that decision by another 40 days, time we hope that they will use to plan a just energy transition instead of another oil project. This is the first test of their climate leadership and threatens their claims of being environmental champions. The fossil fuel industry will make many attempts to frame this project as an issue of Newfoundland and Labrador's economic interest. This is not the case. Recent polling shows that the majority of people in the province want a green economy. In St. John's, a city with a population of only about 100,000, have joined demonstrations calling for climate action and protests extended well beyond the capital of the province. Newfoundland and Labrador is also directly in the path of many severe climate impacts, and the fossil fuel industry cannot provide a long-term economic future for the province. A just transition for Newfoundland and Labrador is a win for the world and for the province, but it will need the support of the federal and provincial governments to happen. Action is underway in other jurisdictions, and Canada risks being left behind. 11 countries and substantial governments have launched the Beyond Oil and Gas Alliance, committing to no new expansion of oil and gas. Other leaders are acting as well. 2,800 scientists, 101 Nobel laureates, and 170 parliamentarians from 33 countries, including many from Canada, have endorsed the principles of a fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty to end expansion, wind down existing production, and scale up the shift to clean energy and low-carbon technologies. Conor Curtis and Tezipora Berman wrote, "It's time for Canada to stop adding to the problem and put our political and financial resources into building renewables and electrification at a scale to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels. Canada has already committed to stop financing oil and gas internationally, making it hypocritical to then support more oil and gas development at home." After the Russian special operation in Ukraine, there has been a shameful attempt by fossil fuel proponents in Canada, seemingly echoed by the premier of the Newfoundland, to justify Bay du Nord as an answer for ending dependence on Russian fossil fuels, even though the project would take years to be operational and would have no impact on the immediate situation. These arguments by oil lobbyists and the premier ring particularly hollow as European countries now look to speed up a transition away from fossil fuels altogether, which would leave long-term projects like Bay du Nord even less economically viable than they were to start. Ukraine's own delegate to the IPCC has publicly criticized the world's continuing dependence on fossil fuels as a cause of continuing wars that will only make climate change worse. In a world facing increasingly severe climate impacts that threaten the lives and livelihoods of millions of people and which will help drive future conflict, the fossil fuel industry not only cannot help provide global security, but is instead a continuing detriment to it. Let's be clear. There is no such thing as clean oil, no matter how environmentally friendly or unfriendly the extraction process. It's still oil, and it will still make climate change and the global situation worse. Canada's government has a unique opportunity to make a real impact on climate change and honor calls for change from within Newfoundland and Labrador by rejecting the Bay du Nord project and committing to a clean energy transition. This includes coming up with a plan to support oil and gas workers to shift into clean energy opportunities and other sectors. Wasting time, effort, and public funding to further entrench Canada's economic dependence on fossil fuels is the opposite of Canada's climate commitments.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The fasting of the month of Ramadan is an important pillar of our faith.
إنما سمي رمضان لأنه يرمض الذنوب.
Verily, the month of Ramadan has been thus named because it scorches away sins.
What does Maah Ramadan mean to us?
This is Dialogue, a program on the holy month of Ramadan and the importance of fasting. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program. This is Dialogue. We're talking about the blessed and holy month of Ramadan. The holy month of Ramadan, as you all know, is the blessed and honorable month when the doors of the Almighty Allah's mercy are open. It is the blessed month when forgiveness is easy to gain, but only if we take our steps in this direction. The holy month of Ramadan, the great month when the doors of hell are closed, a beautiful, a blessed, an honorable month, a month where we return towards the Almighty Allah. The holy month of Ramadan, a month where we gain our provisions for our journey towards the hereafter. The holy month of Ramadan, where we establish a connection with our loving, nurturing Lord, our Creator and Sustainer, Allah, exalted and glorified is He. The holy month of Ramadan, the greatest of months, the most honorable of months. This month in which we can return towards Allah. This month in which we can reconnect with Allah. This month in which we can gain the provisions for the hereafter. This, the holy month of Ramadan.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله لو يعلم العبد ما في رمضان لود أن يكون رمضان السنة.
Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم stated, if the servant was to fathom the verse of Ramadan, he would wish that Ramadan lasted the whole year.
Welcome back to your listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the holy month of Ramadan. So, dear friends, when we're talking about the holy month of Ramadan, of course, this holy month is primarily known because people fast in this holy month of Ramadan, this month of blessings and this month of mercy and this month of forgiveness. Now, we find that fasting, of course, you refrain from eating and drinking and inhaling certain things such as smoke or dirt, for example, and some other things which are prohibited during the fasting period during the day. But very rarely do we think about the other things that we must also avoid while we are fasting. Now, of course, the obligatory things that we must refrain from when we are fasting are a few in number, whether it is certain relations with our spouses, whether it is eating or drinking or inhaling smoke and the like. These are the things that, of course, will break the fast. But it is interesting, we find in, for example, the compilation of traditions by the name of Wasa'il al-Shia, we find that there are detailed narrations of the various characteristics of a fasting person. We find in these narrations from the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, the progeny of the Holy Prophet, where they say that a fasting person must avoid things like lying, sinning, disputes. They must avoid things like jealousy, backbiting, opposing the truth. They must also avoid things such as swearing or blaming others unnecessarily, anger, undue sarcasm. It also, we find in the narrations that the fasting person must avoid oppression, abusing people, neglect of the hereafter. We also find that the fasting person must avoid being social with those people who sin. They must avoid slander and gossip. They must avoid eating things that are not permissible, of course, during the times when eating and drinking is allowed. And finally, that the fasting person must pay special attention as regards to prayers, patience, truthfulness, the constant remembrance of the day of resurrection, and the constant remembrance of the Almighty Allah. This month truly, dear friends, the month of Ramadan, is a blessed month. If we were to inculcate these various characteristics and avoid these certain other characteristics which have been detailed in the narrations of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, by the end of the month, we will become a radically better, more beautiful, more perfect, and more complete human being. This is Dialogue, the holy month of Ramadan.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
The fasting of the month of Ramadan is an important pillar of our faith. And all physically fit and mature Muslims are required to fast every day of this month of Ramadan. Fasting is not unique to Islam. It is there in Christianity, in Judaism, even in Hindu and Buddhist tradition. There is this tradition of fasting. However, in Islam, when we talk about fasting, it is more involved in a sense that every day of the month of Ramadan, we have to abstain from dawn to dusk, abstaining from food, even from drinking water. And those who are smokers are not allowed to smoke. But let me now go on to the social dimension of fasting. What is the benefit? Hunger and thirst makes us realize the suffering of the less fortunate members of the society. And when we do this every day, you know, it is going to rekindle the sense of generosity and being helpful towards the poor and the needy in the community as well as the people around the world. When we fast in the afternoon or evening, you know, we start feeling the hunger and thirst. But we still have that assurance at the end of the day, there will be iftar and food on our table. But then we had to realize that there are many people around the world who fast not because it is the month of Ramadan. They are going through fasting because they don't have anything to eat. And they don't have any assurance that at the end of the day, they will have the meal known as iftar. And this realization will surely encourage this element of charity and sharing within us. And this is considered to be the month of charity and sharing.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. محارب اتصال برب العالمين وروضات سناها تقيم الوحي فينا محارب اتصال برب العالمين وروضات سناها
Food for thought.
Salam, friends. And here is a saying from the Prophet's 18th infallible heir, Imam Reza, peace upon him, who on this day in the year 201 AH was declared heir apparent by the crafty Abbasid Caliph Ma'mun in order to deceive the Muslim masses. If the caliphate is your right, you have no right to give to others what God has determined for you. And if it is not your right, how can you pass on to others that which does not belong to you at all?
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered 8 miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching, along with other threats, has brought the species to the brink of extinction.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INEC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was, how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play? And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to fly. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. It has produced some of the world's top-ranked players. A zoo in Ireland's capital, Dublin, has unveiled its newest habitat called the Himalayan Hills, a brand new home of the red panda and the snow leopard. Visitors are able to see the red panda's habitat by traveling along the new trail around a rocky edge to an open viewing area. The red pandas are typically climbing, exploring, or munching on bamboo at the top of broad-leafed evergreen trees. The expanded habitat was designed with a red panda's tree-dwelling lifestyle in mind. Also, visitors can gaze up at the 15-meter rocky slope through an impressive panoramic viewing area to spot the snow leopards. These elusive felines are typically nocturnal, so catching a glimpse of one is a rare treat.
Yeah, the animals are settling in well. We've tried to recreate the wild habitat in the Himalayan hills. Both species live quite high up. In case of the snow leopards, up to 5,000 meters on these very steep rocky slopes, which you can see here in the habitat as well. We've tried to use the topology of Dublin Zoo.
The project took a few years to complete. It was halted in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and massive budget shortages, but was restarted after government funding in 2021. The zoo is part of a protection project for red pandas and snow leopards. These animals are listed as vulnerable due to threats from poaching and severe habitat loss. Ancient Pompeii has a new guardian, Spot, a four-legged robot dog that will inspect the ancient Italian city's streets and tunnels to identify structural issues.
The robot, designed by the U.S. firm Boston Dynamics, will patrol Pompeii at nighttime. The robot inspects the smallest of spaces and gathers data for planning interventions to fix safety and structural issues. Equipped with a 360-degree camera, Spot will also protect the city's streets from illegal relic hunters who cause structural damage to the ruins by digging tunnels. Pompeii will also have its own eye in the sky, a Leica BLK-2 flying laser scanner capable of autonomously conducting 3D scans of the ruins, helping Spot carry out its tasks. Safeguarding ancient sites from treasure hunters has always been a problem for every country, especially the ancient ones.
The cherry blossom or sakura season in the Japanese capital is a magical experience as trees burst into bloom, dousing the streets with stunning shades of pink. This year, people are enjoying the occasion to the fullest as COVID restrictions are no more there. Thousands gathered in central Tokyo wearing masks, taking pictures and posing for selfies among the trees. Cherry flowers reach full bloom on Sunday, 4 days earlier than usual, according to the Japan Meteorological Agency. The age-old tradition of viewing cherry blossoms typically takes place across the country. The flowers are a national obsession. People flock to parks to hold parties and picnics. However, due to the pandemic, authorities have asked people to refrain from eating and drinking outdoors.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An ancient place in Guatemala with special significance for the Mayan culture could be the next entry on the World Heritage List. The historic village known today as the Takalik Abaj Archaeological Park was occupied for 1,700 years before it was abandoned and discovered in 1888. It's said to have been home to a pre-Hispanic people. Archaeologists found their way to this mysterious piece of land where they found a series of exotic artifacts and sculptures back in 2008. Guatemala's Minister of Cultural Heritage says this site has a sacred place in the nation's culture.
Takalik Abaj is a sacred place with important links to Guatemala's culture. It's a place that harbors flora and fauna biodiversity and even Mayan spirituality and war is wild. This makes this place highly important within the Mayan culture in Guatemala.
Archaeologists believe the monuments go back to the deep-rooted civilizations of Olmec and Maya in a Central American culture around 400 BC. The government has presented the site to UNESCO, hoping it will be declared a World Heritage Site. A Belgian-British teenager is on a solo flight around the globe that could make him a world record holder. Mark Rutherford started his journey from a small airfield near the Bulgarian capital Sofia on Wednesday. His first destination, is the island of Sicily in Italy. From there, he'll fly south to Africa and then around the globe to cross the finish line again in Bulgaria. The 16-year-old pilot says he got his inspiration from his sister.
Egypt's rich history seems to be a gift that keeps on giving. The country has unveiled some exquisite, newly discovered tombs. The pharaonic tombs were found at the Saqqara archaeological site south of Cairo. The site is a big necropolis of Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt. The graves belonged to a senior royal official, or rather senior royal officials. Some of the graves are engraved with interesting titles such as Steward of the Royal House and Supervisor of the Garden. The tombs are around 4,000 years old, dating back to the Old Kingdom of Egypt.
Iranian families celebrated the ancient tradition of Sizdebedar or Nature's Day by spending some quality time outdoors with family. Yusuf Jalali has a story.
It's Nature's Day in Iran, and parks and countrysides are flooded with families who never miss the chance to spend the final day of Nowruz holidays out with their loved ones. The ancient occasion is called Sizdebedar. Over the past 2 years, the festival was called off amid the coronavirus pandemic, and it's the first time in 2 years that Sizdebedar is marked with such a huge crowd.
Because of the coronavirus, people could not go out on Sizdebedar for 2 years in a row. And this year, the majority are vaccinated and green spaces are jam-packed with picnic goers.
We Iranians have grown up with Sizdebedar and we never miss it. Thank God we can safely enjoy this amazing tradition this year with all our family members and relatives.
Sizdebedar means getting rid of number 13. In Persian mythology, 13 is the bad luck number. Now Sizdebedar is believed to chase away the bad luck and bring good vibes.
Today, we cooked special foods like ash and chicken kebab to eat them for lunch with our family members. We traditionally believe that this day brings bad luck and we must spend it outdoors with joy to get rid of it.
The event is also called the Festival of Nature, and it is an occasion to raise awareness of the need to preserve the environment.
Throughout the history, Iranians have had close relationship with nature, and that's why we have dedicated a special day in our calendar to nature. Before we leave our place here, we clean the environment.
Sizdebedar is the final day of the two-week celebrations of the Persian New Year, known as Nowruz, which marks the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. The tradition has been celebrated for some 3,000 years in Iran, Tajikistan, and Afghanistan, among other communities. Everyone must have missed outdoor gatherings after more than 2 years of COVID restrictions. Now that worries over the pandemic have eased to some extent, Sizdebedar once again reunited Iranians with Mother Nature, with all the good vibes and hope for a world free of the coronavirus. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And we're going to speak about the essence of Ramadan, humility.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
But first, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Friday, is the 6th of the month of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 7 to 11.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان
And the heaven he raised and imposed the balance.
ألا تطغوا في الميزان
That you not transgress within the balance.
وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان.
And establish weight in justice, and do not make deficient the balance.
والأرض وضعها للأنام.
And the earth he laid out for the creatures.
فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام.
Therein is fruit and palm trees having sheaths of dates.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Maintaining and inflicting lust is unjustifiable. It is worthy of note that the fifth creature upon which divine graciousness and mercy are bestowed is the heaven that enjoys an exalted state. There is a system and a balance in this world, and you have to have the same. Without such balance and order, the world will perish. If you lack order and balance in your lives, you will tread the path to perdition. The truth behind monotheism is that the prevailing principles of it are all the same everywhere.
أشهر الرحمن فيك أنزل القرآن.
On the continuation of today's special, we'll look at learning humility. Dear friend, there is nothing like fasting to break the ego's grand delusion of self-independence. As the hours of breaking fast get closer and weakness from lack of food and water sets in each day, it is a reminder of how vulnerable we truly are and how delicate our existence really is. Our dependency on food and water really makes us realize how independent and interconnected to each other and to the rest of Allah's creation we are for mere survival. Yet all too often a sense of invulnerability and self-sufficiency causes arrogance to abound from within, such that the arrogant one thinks they can do whatever they want without any consequences.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bin istayt. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with humbleness and avoiding arrogance throughout the month Ramadan. We find that the month Ramadan is the month of spiritual and psychological upbringing. Throughout the month of Ramadan, everybody is expected to observe Islamic instructions practical repentance and be and prove to be, more religious compared with other months of the year. Certainly, arrogance and self-centeredness are among the unfavorable moral traits, and in fact they are among the vices that any person may have. We find that in this connection, It must be indicated that the roots of arrogance go back to the point that some people regarded themselves as being superior to other people on vain grounds. Okay, for example, someone may imagine that, okay, since I am more powerful, physically more powerful, I'm superior to another person. Or since, for example, I am more wealthy, I'm wealthier than, for example, my neighbor, I'm superior to my neighbor or to my friend. While we find that according to Islamic instructions, the measure of moral virtues go back to considering Islamic instructions and Islamic values. Those people who observe fasting cannot boast of being superior to others because they have more money, hence, more food may be available to them for eating. Rather, in the month of Ramadan, as everybody is expected to endure thirst and hunger for several hours throughout the whole day, people come to, the wealthy people also come to experience the hunger that the, poor people usually and often endure. In this connection, we find that on the other, the opposite of arrogance is humbleness. And those people who experience humbleness and hold that, humbleness is a good moral trait, they seldom come to the point to feel arrogant regarding other people or in contrast to other people. Because of this, we find that one of the benefits of considering and observing fasting throughout the month of Ramadan goes back to the point that it extinguishes the flames of arrogance in people. Thank you.
رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
We have a short look at the essence of Ramadan in humility. The month of Ramadan brings one closer with one's inner self. People try to get a grip of their hunger and physical appetite, giving up greed and desire, which elevate our consciousness from physical to a more spiritual being. The essence of Ramadan is humility. There is a sense of calmness in the air and people seem humble. Even non-Muslims are tolerant. Many of them even take up the Ramadan fast themselves to gain an understanding of the tradition. A beautiful thing about Ramadan is that people show respect. They are open-minded, calm yet jovial, with a positive attitude. They embrace the spiritual of charity and try to make a difference in other people's lives. In this episode of today's special, we speak about humility. Now it's good to look into arrogance. The Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "The one who possesses even a grain's weight of arrogance in his heart will not enter paradise." This is so because arrogance is incompatible with Islam's salvific testimony of faith. There is no God except Allah. The arrogant, unchecked, ultimately come to see their own selves as a God, or at least partners with Allah. Arrogance was arguably the first great sin when Satan refused God's command to bow down to the human prototype, Adam, because Satan insisted that he was superior to Allah's new creation. the outwardly arrogant person can easily be seen a mile away. But arrogance appears in much subtler ways. Feelings of superiority, treating others with contempt, pride of lineage, pride of beauty, pride of wealth, pride of physical strength, pride of abundance, and lastly, pride of knowledge.
Before going into the ibadah, before doing anything, we need to comprehend the value of the month of Ramadan. And we need to comprehend the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before starting your worship, before starting your fast, you need to know who you're dealing with. You know, when you go and you want to start a job at a company, when you want to go and you want to go to a school, you want to start a program at a school, before you start anything, you want to know what kind of people am I dealing with? Who is my employee? Who is the person I'm working for? What is the school that I'm attending? When you know who you're working for, you will know where you are. And you will be able to appreciate much more. When you are, for example, serving your parents, when you're doing something good to your parents, you say, no, I will do whatever it takes for my parents because I know the value of my parents. Similarly with our ibadah, with your fasting, with your salah, with your munajat, with whatever you do, know who you're dealing with. Know that you're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is no ordinary person. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, the creator and the Lord and the sustainer of the universe. When you know Allah, then everything is going to be very easy for you. All the ibadah, all of the struggles, everything is going to be very simple for you because you know who you are dealing with.
Inshallah, we continue and we speak more about this topic that is about the month of Allah. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
جلسة القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجلسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is